Thank you. Okay, this week's parsha, Parshas Yakal Pekudei, is really the culmination of the first successful Jewish fundraising campaign. I think one of many millions of the future history of where Klal Yisrael are brought together, and there's an appeal, and Yidden, religious, non-religious, come and deliver the goods. And this week's parasha is the first, I believe, the first successful Jewish fundraising campaign. And the parasha gives us some remozim, some direction, exactly how to run such a campaign, how to work through people's minds, how to understand the way to get to their pockets. And we're talking about their pockets, we're talking about our own pockets as well. How to make sure that we don't get sidestepped, getting too enthusiastic about the campaign, not actually giving ourselves. And therefore it's a very, very important, interesting parasha that a lot of different Torah come from. My favorite sefer, the Zayin of Torah. I'd like to make a public appeal. If anyone knows where I can purchase a set of the Zayin of Torah, please let me know. I only have the Chelik Shemois, one I have to borrow from the shul. And there's a few beautiful, beautiful, very original pieces from the Zalman Sorotskin, from the Lutzkarov, in this week's parasha. So, as we said, it's that the first successful fundraising campaign has been completed. And by Yakel Moshe, the parasha begins, Yakel Moshe has called Adas B'nai Yisrael. Moshe brings together the whole, call Adas B'nai Yisrael, the whole congregation of B'nai Yisrael, Vayoyma Aleim. And he says to them, Eile HaDvarim Ashetziva Hashem Lasis Oysom. These are those things that Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded you to do. Okay? Now, what are those things? Says Pasuk Beis, Sheishis Yomin to Osim Alocha. We talk about 6 days doing work, and the seventh day should be Kodesh, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Hashem, Kol Yisbo, Melocha, Yomas. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing Klal Yisrael in to tell them about the Melechas of Mishkan, but he, before he gets started, brings them in the Halachas of Hilchos Shabbos. Rashi explains why. Higtim lehem ha-hasara Shabbos, v'tzivim melechas Mishkan, leima, she'enoi doicha es ha-Shabbos. Rashi gives one reason, that we bring in the Hilchos Mishkan before Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos before Mishkan, to teach me that the Mishkan is not doicha Shabbos. Fine, okay. We'll see another reason soon. In Pasuk Dalet it says again, v'yoyimem Moshe el kol adas b'nei Yisrael leimo. Moshe said to all Adas B'nai Yisrael, Leimor, Zeh Hadovo Ashtiva Hashem Leimor. These are what Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded. So the obvious kasher is, why is it that it says in Pasuk Aleph, Moshe brought in all El Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael, Vayoyim Aleim, and he said to them as follows. Now this is very clearly who he's speaking to. And then 3 psukim later, again it says, Vayoyim Moshe Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael Leimor. If it's the same drasha, if it's the same standing there, what is going on over here? Why is it Moshe Rabbeinu talking again about Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael Leimo? And what did he Taka say to them? The Pasuk says in Pasuk Hey, Kochu me'itchem Truma Lashem, take from yourself Truma Lashem, Kol Nadivliboy Yevi'ehu Truma Hashem Zol V'ches V'nechoshes, brings a whole list of those things that are necessary. Now Rabbi Yisai, listen to this carefully. In Parshas Truma, it says, Vayikhu li truma. Take for me truma. Okay? The kasha we asked then, if you remember, was why did it say Vayikhu li, take for me, and not obviously Vayitnu li, give to me? Why say Vayikhu li? So over there, it's not such a big kasha, because it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu is commanding the Gaboid Stoker, the Nasiim, the heads of the tribe, to take, to go along and knock on the doors and take truma from people. Vayikhu li, he's speaking to the Nasiim. Yeah, he's speaking to the fundraisers. V'yikhuli, take from me, make a campaign taking from me. So it makes sense over there, the yikhu is a command to people to take from other people. Okay? Over here though, it doesn't make sense. Because over here, who's Moshe speaking to? El Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. He's speaking to every single person in Klal Yisrael. If he's speaking to every single person in Klal Yisrael, he's not speaking to one sector to take from another sector. He's speaking to the whole Klal Yisrael together. And therefore, who exactly is he saying, Kuchu, take from them? It's not take. I'm not taking one from somebody else. We should be saying over here, Tnu, give to the Mishkan. So the Yikhu over here does not make sense, even though by Truma, and Parshas Truma, it could necessarily make sense because he's referring to a group of people to take from somebody else. But over here, when it's addressing all the Klal Yisrael, it doesn't make sense to say v'yikhu, it should say v'yitnu. Understand? So there's now the Torah said, he's working through this pasuk, and he remembered the story, it happened to Reb Chaim Briska. You all know Reb Chaim Brisk was one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Volozhin. Of the Volozhin Yeshiva. And as every good yeshiva, the yeshiva went through some very extremely difficult financial times. Okay. So Reb Chaim did as every Rosh Yeshiva does. He's got to go into Golos, and he went to Minsk to make money. Went to Minsk. Minsk was a big city in, I don't know where it was. Where's Minsk? White Russia, which today is Belarus. Okay, so how far is it from Volozhin to Belarus? Small, our Eastern European correspondent, you don't know. Okay, it was a travel, right? And he went there to make sure that he comes back with enough funds, yeah, enough funds to Be'ez Hashem pay back all the chayvos of the yeshiva. Okay, he goes there, and he is lucky enough to have in Minsk two balabatim, two very, very wealthy people, who not only were people who donated money to the yeshiva, but looked after the fundraising needs in Minsk. In other words, they'd go along, and they would take the Rosh Yeshiva from place to place, and they would make a list of the gevirim, and then email before he came, and his follow-up, the thank you letters, and they were like the board of directors of the Volozhin yeshiva in Minsk. There are two shutfim. I've got the names, it's brought down the names, Reb Zuchkin, exactly who he was, I don't know exactly what it was, two names. So Reb Chaim went to stay by one of them. And after a few days, Reb Chaim says to him, "No, what's going on?" He said, "Don't worry, you just sit and learn. You just sit and learn. Leave it to me, Ez Hashem. You sit and learn. There's chusli sitting and learning. My fundraising efforts do well. There's nothing to worry about. Ez Hashem, I'll be okay." Okay, a week goes, 2 weeks goes. Reb Chaim says, "No, well, what's going on?" He said, "Ah, you were Baruch Hashem, tremendous after the Shemaya. I managed to make half the money. Baruch Hashem. Fantastic." So Reb Chaim goes, and he goes back into Beis Medrash, and he carries on learning. After a month, he goes back to the Balabos, says, "No, what's going on?" He says, "Ah, Siat Dishmaya, Hashem has helped unbelievably. Baruch Hashem, I have the full amount of money." This is a huge amount of money. Reb Chaim takes that money back to Volozhin, and he pays back all the chayvus, and Baruch Hashem, yeshiva is back on track. Not long after that, these two Balabatim, the one he stayed with, and his partner in business, came to Volozhin for Din Torah. What's a Din Torah? The partner, not the one Reb Chaim stayed with, the partner heard that the Balabos, the home, the host Reb Chaim was staying with, had not fundraised any of the money Bechlal. In fact, he had given from his own bank account all that money that Reb Chaim needed. He did not go making phone calls. He didn't go knocking on people's doors. He himself had paid for the full amount. And as a shutuf in a business, the shutuf, the partner, was very, very upset that he did not let him into that secret, and did not include him in his fantastic mitzvah of supporting Volozhin Yeshiva. And he came to Volozhin as for Din Torah against his partner, that we are 50-50 in business. We deserve to be 50-50 in stock or two. And you have no right to give Reb Chaim all the money. You have to allow me to give half the money. That was a Din Torah. Halavai, such Din Torah today. Okay? But that was a Din Torah. The conclusion of the Din Torah we don't know. But Reb Chaim went and asked his host, "If you yourself gave all that money, was dreist der Kopf? Why are you driving me crazy? I come to after 2 weeks, and you say, yeah, Baruch Hashem made half the money. After another 2 weeks, Baruch Hashem made another half the money. Why couldn't you just give me the money? Yeah, I've come there for a week or so, sort it out, get your business things together, and let me go back to the yeshiva. Why are you wasting my time? I mean, I appreciate very much your generosity, but the Maaseh was to say, yes, I've made half, then I made another half. Just give it to me." So this man said something which is incredible. He said, "Reb Chaim, I'm a Baal Tzedakah, but do you think it's easy for me to part with such a large amount of money? Do you think I can just take a check and write a check easily? Do you think it's easy for me? It's hard work. I've worked hard for this money, and I feel, to an extent, that I'm giving away something, and it's hard for me. So for a full 2 weeks, I managed to work on my Yetzer Hara, and Baruch Hashem, I managed to overcome my Yetzer Hara to be able to give half. And it took me another whole 2 weeks to work over my Yetzer Hara to get rid of the other half. And Baruch Hashem, at the end of learning Musa and understanding the lessons that this parasha is going to continue teaching us, I managed to realize that everything's from Ribbono Shel Olam, and what Zchus it is to be Mechazik Torah, to be Machzik Torah, and that is how I was able to give that money. Says the Aznayin Torah, Ve'yikhuli, Ve'yoyim Moshe Kol Asmi, Ve'zeh Adar Seh Hashem Nevi, K'chu Me'itchem, what's K'chu Me'itchem? K'chu, take Me'itchem from yourselves. He says, everyone has a Yetzirah not to give tzedakah. And everyone has a Yetzirah to keep the money for themselves. What you're going to do is, kachu, every single one of you, take from yourselves. Me'itchem, take, who are you taking from? You're taking from your own pocket. You're taking from your own Yetzirah. You're trying to take out from your absolute, what you believe is your wealth, and give it to somebody else. That's kachu me'itchem. That's something that takes tremendous, tremendous self-control. That takes tremendous focus on what has to be done. And that's kachu. Take who from? From yourselves. Kachu me'itchem. How does one do that? How does one do that? Lemaisa, how does one do that? A person gets up early, he works hard. Yeah, we're not talking about people who make large amounts of money by just, you know, a dice spinning, or people who have shares. Yeah, sometimes people who are working in a store, and they're there from early morning to late at night, and every shoelace, they're making a little bit of profit, and every little bottle of Coke they're selling, making a bit of profit. And at the end of it, pruta mitzvah, they come a lot with hard work, and then somebody asks them for money, and they give them the money. How do they, tachlis, how is that possible? Says of Yaakov Naiman, a beautiful pshat, it says of Yaakov Naiman, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that before he starts talking about fundraising, before he starts talking about taking money out of people's pockets, he has to give them over one very clear message. And that is a message of Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe brought them all together. And he said to them the mitzvahs of Shabbos. Now what is within this mitzvah of Shabbos so important? Says Vayakel Naiman, two diyukim. Number one, it says, Sheishes Yomim, Teyosim Melocha. 6 days do work, over Yom HaShvi, and the seventh day, Yilechem Kodesh, will be Kodesh. What, is it a mitzvah to work for 6 days? Is there any bigger mitzvah to keep Shabbos when you're working 6 days, or when you have a pension, your only pension, you don't work 6 days, you're playing golf, right? Is Shabbos less of a Shabbos because you're on a pension? You're on holiday, you're on vacation, so you haven't worked 6 days, right? They're still missing to keep Shabbos. What's the idea of 6 days you should work and the seventh day Shabbos? Just say. The seventh day of the week should be Shabbos. What's Sheishes Yomim Te'osu Melocha? Number one. Number two, what's Peshat Sheishes Yomim Te'oseh? Te'oseh, what does Te'oseh mean?
Shall be done.
It's a passive form of action. Yeah, Te'oseh means work shall be done. Sheishes Yomim Te'oseh Melocha, work shall be done. If it's referring to a person doing the work, it would say Sheishes Yomim Ta'aseh Melacha, do work. Te'aseh means work shall be done for you. Why does it say that? Says of Yaakov Naiman, a story from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim once went to Bialystok, one of the big cities, and he heard over there that there's a yid, unfortunately, who's keeping open a huge factory on Shabbos. And the Chofetz Chaim comes to him. Chofetz Chaim says to him, you know, there's a halacha of Shabbos. There's a halacha that you've got to close your factory. You're not allowed to work on Shabbos. So the man turned around to the Chofetz Chaim and said to him, Rebbe, you know, I know you've got a little shop there in Radin. You know, with the greatest of respect, I'm earning 4,000 ruble a day. Huge amount of money a day. If I close that shop on Shabbos, if I close a factory on Shabbos, I'm losing that money. You know, today's not easy to make money today. Are you trying to tell me they're going to close my shop, my factory, and not earn that 4,000 ruble on a Shabbos? Do me a favor. So Chofetz Chaim said to him, all I can tell you is that if you don't close your factory on Shabbos, then you won't have any work, and you won't be earning the 4,000 ruble any other day of the week either. So the man started laughing at the Chofetz Chaim. He said, do you really think a posuk in the Torah keeps my factory open? I know how to run a business. Yeah? Thank you very much. Thank you for your very kind words. All the best. Bye-bye. It wasn't much later that the Bolsheviks came and they took away their person's factories, took it from him. and a man wrote a bitter letter telling the Chofetz Chaim how right he was. Said the Chofetz Chaim, Sheishes yomim te'osu melacha, uv'yoyim ha'shvi Shabbos, uv'yoyim ha'shvi yilechem Shabbos. The Shabbos, if you have a Shabbos, then you'll have Sheishes yomim te'osu melacha, you'll have work the other 6 days. If you keep Shabbos the way you're supposed to keep Shabbos, then you will have work the other 6 days, you'll have panasa. But if you don't keep Shabbos, you won't have work the other 6 days either. Ultimately, Hashem keeps you in business. It is a pasuk in the Torah that keeps you in business. And don't think, says Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, it's peshat that you are doing anything in your business. It's te'oseh melacha. Melacha is done for you from Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the buying, the selling, the profits from Shemayim. You are doing nothing. You are a puppet in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. It is all from Ribbono Shel Olam. It is all directed by Hashem whether you should make money and how much money you will make. Trying to do anything that brings in more money against the Ribbono Shel Olam's rotzen is like the moshel of Chofetz Chaim, of a person who had a big barrel of wine and he wanted to get more wine out of the barrel. Yeah? He wants to get himself more wine, so it made another tap on the side of the barrel that more wine will come out now. You idiot! It's the same amount of wine will come out with one tap or two taps. There's no point putting an extra tap. There's no point in working harder than HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to work. There's no point in doing any action that is against Ratzon Hashem. Let the work be done for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. If a person understands that any money he makes is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, if he understands that it's all Hashgacha Pratis, if he understands that the Bracha of the Torah ultimately keeps him in business, then he finds it much, much easier to give away tzedakah. It's not my money. I never made the money. I was a passive player in this game. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu now expects me to give some of it away. It's not my money. I didn't make it. It was te'oseh. It was made for you. You were passive in this. And therefore, the introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu's appeal is saying, Rabbi Isai, don't think I'm taking money from you that you earned and it's yours. It is something that was given to you by the Ribbono Shel Olam in order to give to others. You never made it. It was given to you. You're a person who is basically a bank of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that will make it much easier for you to give in the future. This all sounds very nice when business goes well. Yeah, in a time of plenty, in a time of strong financial markets, it all sounds nice giving away tzedakah, and it all sounds very idealistic. Yeah, sounds great. But in the times when things are difficult, how is one supposed to react to giving tzedakah then? You know, today, unfortunately, there's a tremendous, tremendous financial deficit in many people's accounts, and the cash flow is terrible. But by any easy estimation, if every single Yid gave Maisa from his work that he did, no institution would be in any trouble whatsoever. Not more than Maisa. Nobody would be in any trouble. Lani would have what they need, institutions would have what they need, it would be no problem at all. But people feel the pinch, and the first thing they do when it comes to unfortunately difficult financial times is they close their stock accounts. Kiyomu chachicha. What the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Kiyomu chachicha. When your friend will become poor, umota yodoi. His hand closes. That's it. You know, he stops giving. There's a gevaldig pasuk in Perek Lamed Hei pasuk of Zayin by the Nesim. You all know this pasuk. The pasuk says, and the Nesiim bore the Avni Shem Avni Milurim. Now normally Nesiim is spelt with a Yud. Han Nesiim is spelt Hey Nun Siin Yud Aleph Mem. Okay? Here it's spelt for Han Nesiim without the Yud. Why is the Yud not here? So Rashi says, because they said, you know what, we'll hold back. Anything that's lacking, we're happy to give. And there's a certain element there of laziness, of lack of enthusiasm, and therefore that Yud was taken out of their name. Okay? That's one Peshat. But the Zayin Torah says, we find many places in Tanakh where the word Hanasim is also used as Noshom. It's like the Loshon of a cloud. Noshom v'ruach. Yeah, it's like the clouds. So therefore the Chazal learned from there, v'hanasiim means from Noshom, from the clouds, that the clouds, Anoneh HaKovod, brought the stones to the Nesim, and that's how they found the stones. They didn't have it in their gem collection. Yeah, each one of the Anoneh HaKovod brought it inside when they got their mon, their little packet there, and they had their stone that they needed to give to the Avnei Yishayim, Avnei Meluim, and that's how they brought to them, v'hanasiim, the clouds. So it says in Zayin of Torah, to Piderach Drush, something very, very beautiful. He says, the Gemara says in Gittin, in Raya Odom, Shemazonaisa Mutsumtsomim, Yase Behem Tzedakah. The person sees that his money is being tightened up, as it were. There's less money around for himself, give more Tzedakah. The Gemara says in Ksubus, that Samach Lavam Dalaf, Melech Momoin Chosar. We compare melach, salt, to money. What's the idea? So Rashi explains over there straight away that haroitze limloyach m'moinoy, a person wants to salt his money, if a person wants to preserve his money, then he should give tzedakah. And the tzedakah preserves his money. So the Zayin Torah brings a beautiful vort from the Pinsk Kalin Rov, Rabbi Aaron Volkin. And he said, when does a person use more salt? When you want to preserve a piece of meat, you salt it, right? When do you need more salt to make sure this piece of meat doesn't go bad? In the summer or in the winter? In the winter, it's not so hot. You don't need that much salt. In the summer, where it's really hot, you need much more salt. In other words, when do you need to give more salt? When do you need to give more tzedakah? When there's more risk of your money going bad. So in fact, instead of giving less tzedakah, when things are tough, give more tzedakah. I was in Manchester about a year ago, and Reb Pesach Kron gave a shiur about how to ride recession. And he said a fantastic story, a very inspiring story, and the story is, the more you think about it, the more impressed you are by a simple individual. There was a man who lived in Five Towns, a very wealthy man, and he every year was visited by a particular Rosh Kodal. And every year, he'd give him a certain amount of money, donation for the kollel. An older man. A few years back, this man, this Rosh Kodal, came to this gentleman and asked him for a donation for the kollel again. So this older gentleman said back to him, I must tell you, I've fallen upon very, very difficult times. I received a letter this morning from Beer Stearns, where I had all my pension money, that they've basically gone belly up. That they're completely, that's it, I've lost my entire pension. Whatever I've been squirreling away all my life is gone, it's disappeared. So you can well understand that I can't give you the same as I gave you last year. So I said, of course I can understand. I'm so sorry I came to you at this time. You know, if I would have known. He said, listen, how are you to know? But that's the situation, I can't give you the same. Okay, wrote him a check, and I'm not sure where they got this minhag from. They fold up the check and give it to you into your hand, and you leave without seeing what the check is. He goes outside the house, and normally this gentleman gave him $1,000, he opens up the check and it's $1,800. Knocks on the door again and says, I'm really sorry to trouble you again, but to be very honest, I think there's some misunderstanding over here. He said he can't give me the same as last year and he gave me more. He says, right, I can't give you the same as last year. Last year business was going well and therefore I didn't have to give that much tzedakah. This year, things aren't going so well, and the Gemara says in Gittin, when you see things don't going well, you've got to give more. And therefore, since things aren't going so well, I can't give you the same as last year, I've got to give you more. Now, Rabbi said, this person was not a Rosh Hashiva, and he was not a Mashkiach, and he wasn't a God of Ador. He was a simple, probably learned to a certain extent, gentleman who had just been clapped by Rabbi Yishleilam with this unbelievable Nisoyan. And he had the clarity to write a check of a large amount of money with his Gemara as a fact. Right? That is a great person. That is a great Jew. That is somebody very special. Says the Zayin Torah Peshat over here. Vanasim. Vanasim means the clouds. Hanasim. When there's clouds, when there's dark doom clouds, big rain clouds coming, darkness coming. Vanasim heviu es avnei hashoyam. Then you bring the most precious gifts you have. Avnei shoyam, the most precious gifts in the list of all the different things that Klal Yisrael brought. When it's doom and it's dark, then bring out the best you have. Because that is what you're supposed to be doing. Don't say now it's recession, I can't give so much. Adarabba, it's recession, you've got to give more. Of course, a person's got to be responsible, and a certain amount a person has to give, and a certain amount that's not allowed to give, right? But ultimately, you don't close up. As soon as the rain clouds come, you don't close up and hide away. In fact, on the contrary, you bring out the best you have, the avnim ruim, bring out the gems. You give even more than you give until now. So we started off with the idea that kuchumi itchem is sometimes very hard to give. A person got to draw out of themselves kuchumi itchem. How does one do that? By understanding the message of Shabbos, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you your business a whole week if you do what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Ultimately, it's te'ose. You're not doing anything anyway, so Kodesh Baruch Hu helping you. Then he went on to the idea that even when things are tough, a person must not shy away. On the contrary, he gives more. But it's all very nice theoretically. Klal Yisrael have an incredible quality. And in this week's parasha shows us the different tricks that unless we're aware of how special tzedakah is, we're bound to fall through and do the same escape routes that most people use when they ask for tzedakah. Listen to this fantastic two vaults from the Zayin Torah. First of all, he says, why does it say that Yakum Moshe called us B'nai Yisrael, Moshe brought them all together, yeah? And he said, "V'yoyim aleim," and he said to them, "It's pasuk aleph, pasuk dalet." Again, "V'yoyim Moshe al kol adas b'nei Yisrael leimo." This is, if you look inside over here, okay. So pasuk aleph, it talks about he spoke to kol adas b'nei Yisrael. "V'yoyim aleim," and he said to them. In pasuk dalet, he says, "V'yoyim Moshe al kol adas b'nei Yisrael leimo." Again, he spoke to all adas b'nei Yisrael, right? At the end of the parasha of this drasha, the pasuk says. Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chof, something very unusual just before Sheni. Vayetsu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Mifnei Moshe, and all of Adas Bnei Yisrael went in front of Moshe. Again, why Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael again and again and again? And obviously Vayetsu, what do you think? They stood there. They stayed there for the rest of their lives. Obviously, they left. Where else will Torah say Vayetsu and they left? Moshe put them all together and they left. Of course they left. What did he do? He stayed there. Says Nine Torah. He says you got to know in fundraising you can't approach a person straight up and say, "Hey, where's your pocketbook? Where's your checkbook? Write a check." So what you have to do is, he says, what the Rabbonim generally do is they make an appeal in a very hidden way. So Moshe Rabbeinu does this. He makes an appeal. What you do is make an appeal, and you start talking about a completely different topic, right? A completely different topic, and you bring in everyone into that topic, and they think, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's not the rabbi's not after our pocketbook again. It's not after our money." Okay. Then, when he got people's attention, you manipulate. You move the conversation, and you start talking about and the mailer, and therefore, it makes sense in today's world. Blah blah blah, and therefore, start talking about money, and therefore, Rabbi Yisai, we need money. Okay, but you don't start saying, "My voice, I need money." Everyone will run out. Okay, that is what generally people do, right? He says, but if you do it often enough, if people understand often enough what the rabbi does, they'll start the Dvar Torah in shul, right? The rabbi starts the Dvar Torah talking about one thing, and then they realize he's got an agenda here. So, very, very inconspicuously, very discreetly, some people leave the shul. They've got a phone call to do, you know, they've got a kid to pick up suddenly, they leave the shul, right? As a rabbi starts getting into the topic itself, starts speaking about fundraising, a few more people just, "Oh, the phone is ringing, be right back," and they never come back, right? And at the end of it, never, because a few of the poor people are sitting there still, the rabbi doesn't expect anything from them anyway, and that's what happens. So that's exactly what would have happened over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is v'yakel Moshe. Moshe is calling Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, is calling everyone together. He's making a fundraising appeal, right? So what does he start talking about? Rabbi Yisai, kuchum etchem trum al Hashem. No. What does he first do? Starts talking about Hilchos Shabbos. I'm talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Yeah, don't worry. Hilchos Shabbos, right? Says a pasuk. Look at this. Says a pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu starts talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Who are sitting there? Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael. They were all sitting at the beginning of the drasha. Now, he starts talking about brass tacks. He starts talking about money. Who are sitting there still? No one disappeared. Now he's ready to start talking about money. Still, Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael remained there, and they stood there, and they sat there, and they waited there to hear Moshe Rabbeinu's appeal. Only at the very end, when Moshe had finished, then Vayetzu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael b'fnei Moshe. That is when they left. They didn't disappear in the middle of the campaign. They didn't disappear in the middle of the fundraising appeal. That was Klal Yisrael then. Yeah, that's Klal Yisrael. They stood and they listened respectfully to the whole appeal. They didn't make excuses. Says Zayin Torah. Let's try Vayetzu, the left. Says Zayin Torah. Sometimes though, you know, there's an appeal that isn't that great. It's not that great. And you can make an excuse why I don't want to give to it, and it's not necessary, or why I just want to have to. By the way, it's very dangerous to do that. Chas v'chalila, if a town, if a community is giving towards a particular venture, whether it's, let's say, writing a new Sefer Torah, and you don't think it's necessary. You don't think it's necessary. You've got enough Sefer Torah, it's ridiculous. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe they don't need another Sefer Torah. But to be a Yotze min haklal, to be a tifrosh min hatzibur, is something very, very dangerous. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at you as an individual, and he'll judge you as an individual rather than a klal. You have to fit into what the klal want. That's just, by the way, a very important rule. But let's say something that is very compelling. It's a good argument. It's absolutely necessary. The rabbi or the fundraiser has told you something that you can't get out of. Yeah? So as a Zayin HaTorah, there's another escape route. You know what the escape route is? You become one of the board of directors of this charity. You become one of the machers. Right? Fantastic campaign. We want to make an orphanage here. So the rabbi wants from every person to give $5,000 towards the orphanage. Right? You don't want to give $5,000. You know what you do? Right? Rabbi, fantastic campaign. I'm on board. I'm going to make sure that I make all the lists for you. And he starts making lists, and he starts making campaigning, and he starts really pushing it through, and he starts collecting money from people and dealing with it. But what happens with him himself? He forgets to give his own check. With all that that's going on, yeah, he forgets, in inverted commas, to give his own check, because he's so involved with the campaign, that is his escape route of not actually giving himself. Says it's now in the Torah, this was all going on, but when the Yetzu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael b'fnei Moshe, when it came to it, they all left at the same time. Nobody was there running the campaign. They all went home to fetch their checkbooks. They all went home to bring back money. They all went home to give a donation. Nobody was there campaigning behind the scenes and very, very conveniently escaping the obligations of actually writing a check. The Yetzu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, they all went out to do what they had to do. So there is a difficulty in giving. There are ways of getting over it. It's even in recessions, a mitzvah to give. And unfortunately, unless we're aware of the Yetzirah manages to trick us. We have very important things to do in the middle of a person's phoning you up. Yeah, and he has a wonderful conversation. You see sometimes, unfortunately, you know, one speaks to somebody about a chasna or something. You shouldn't ever fundraise by a chasna. But if you do, you speak to somebody and there's a wonderful conversation. And then you manage to nudge the subject to talk about a fundraising campaign you have, and suddenly the eyes glaze over. You can see, like, it's like the shutters have come down. That's it. They completely, they've closed shop. And all of a sudden then they need to sort of, oh, I'm sorry. My wife is calling me. I'll be back. Right? That's it. They've gone. They're scarpered. Right? Or, great idea. I like what you're doing. You know what? I'll make you phone calls for you. I don't want your phone calls. Yeah, I want your check. Yeah? And Klal Yisrael did that. Klal Yisrael at that stage taught us a lesson that it's possible to run a campaign, a successful campaign, doing what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. I'm just putting the air conditioning on. So. Thank you. I just want to finish off with two very, very quick thoughts. The Pasuk says, seems to be a stira. The Pasuk says, in Perek Chof Lamed Vav Pasuk Zayin. Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Zayin.
Vamalacha hayson dayom lachol malacha, and the malacha that they did was sufficient for chol malacha. Lasis oisa to do it. In other words, the pasuk said, was there enough? There was enough. But there's one extra word. What's the extra word? Vehoiser, and there's too much. And there's leftovers. Dayom means enough. Hoiser means too much. It seems to be a steer in the pasuk. Vamalocha hoiser dayom, it was enough. Vehoiser, and too much. Either it's enough or too much. What was it?
So I saw a very, very beautiful story from Motel Kamenetsky. I read it out, okay? It said, it was a cold Chicago winter night back in early 1951. The State of Israel Bond's annual dinner was hosting none other than Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion as a guest of honor and featured speaker. The ballroom was packed. The non-kosher event attracted many, many members of Chicago's wealthiest business and professional secular Jewish leadership, all who braved the frigid temperatures to support the fledgling state. They hovered around the ballroom, offering contributions at a rapid-fire pace, while carefully balancing both their martinis and checkbooks. Okay, stirred, never shaken, never stirred. Okay, there was a nary a yarmulke in sight. However, one individual who stood in the corner of the massive lobby outside the ballroom was remarkably unique. He wore a long, dark kaftan and sported a large black fedora, a frack and a homburg, okay? His beard encircled a face that was lined with the crease of hours of Torah study. His piercing eyes darted about the scene, observing the philanthropic flurry of activity. An ancient relic tucked in a corner of a sea of modernity. He stood stoically observing the entire scenario, a slight smile emanating from his lips. He was about to leave the hotel and return to the yeshiva, at which he taught, when a loud voice boomed from behind him. Rev. Mendel Kaplan, what brings you to the Israeli Bonds dinner? Rev. Mendel turned around. He stood face to face with one of Chicago's wealthiest philanthropists. Though a very secular Jew, the man was still a major supporter from the yeshiva at which Rev. Kaplan was employed. Rabbi Kaplan was known in the yeshiva as quite a zealous individual who disapproved of many of the policies surrounding the Labour Party and the Prime Minister, and so baffled the man continued his mocking inquisition. Surely you did not come to pay respects to the Prime Minister and join us in the event, he added sarcastically. Then he broke up in a wider grin, and I'm positive you did not come to partake in a little shellfish. Rabbi Kaplan did not return the tease. Instead, the answer was open, honest, and quite blunt. I came here for one reason, he began, to stand and watch how the children of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov stand in line in order to give charity. Some people give, they give and they leave. The impact of the gift is felt only as far as the dollar will go. When the food is finished, the clothing worn, or the dollar spent, the donation becomes interred into the pile of good deeds registered to history. Over here, however, Rabbi Isai, what he's saying over here is fantastic. Very, very nice thought. Klal Yisrael gave as much as was needed for the Mishkan to build the Mishkan then. That's Peshat and Apostle. V'amalocha ha'yisadayin al chomlocha la'asas o'yisa to do it. V'ahoyser, and there was leftovers to teach the future generations what it means to give. This campaign that Moshe Rabbeinu instigated for the Melechus HaMishkan was enough to build the Mishkan and enough for all future generations to teach not only religious people but even secular Jews how to give tzedakah. V'ahoyser is a lesson in its essence to show how to give. To know where it's coming from, to understand that Kodesh Baruch is in control and it's part of our very part of our fabric of being Jewish to give a lot of charity, give a lot of tzedakah. And it's something that has always been unique to the Jewish people. I want to finish off with one thought. And it's something that, till now, perhaps one could be cynical, but there's a whole twist on why it's so. It's beautiful. You know, if you go fundraising sometimes for yeshiva or a Jewish hospital or a poor person, you go to a wealthy man and he'll ask you a lot of questions. Do you have references? Do you have letters of recommendation? Is it a registered charity? Is a charity being cleared with audited correctly? Can I have a receipt, please? A bunch of questions, a bunch of requirements. When this person that same person is asked by London Zoo or Brooklyn Zoo to sponsor Flipper the Penguin, he doesn't ask them any questions. He writes a check and he walks away. Why is that? Why is that? Why, when it comes to tzedakah, he asks so many questions and he's so suspicious? And when it comes to sponsoring the penguin, that's it, the guy's an easy time. What's the idea? So one can look at it cynically. You see, he doesn't want to give. Says the name of Torah, no, you miss the point. When it came to Pekudei, Moshe Rabbeinu had to make a Pekudei, had to make a count, he had to make a calculation. Why? Because people were saying Moshe Rabbeinu has siphoned off some of the money, he's embezzled some of our money. From the money that we gave to the mission, he's embezzled it. He's kept it for himself. Look how wide his hips are. Look how much money he's taken, the Medrash says. And Moshe Rabbeinu made them an accounting to show them every penny that was given to him was given to the Mishkan. However, when it came to the eagle, we don't see that any of Klal Yisrael who gave away their gold asked for a reckoning. And it should have. Gave all that gold, and all it come out is with a mingy little eagle, a calf. The amount of money they gave, should have bought a big cow. No asking for reckoning. Why? Says his name in the Torah. Says the Zalman Sorotskin. A Yid wants to make sure that he does the right thing. Whether he likes it, whether he's not. The Yid wants to do the right thing, like the Rambam says. Deep down, a Yid always wants to do the right thing. When he's giving to a good cause, he wants to make sure that the money is going towards something that's going to be giving him a zchus. Something that's going to be for his olam haba. Is it going to the right place? I want to make sure that the money I give to yeshiva is going to yeshiva. I want that zchus. I want to do the right thing properly. When he's giving to a wrong thing, when he's giving to, unfortunately, something that he should not be giving to, halavai, the money is not going to that. Halavai, it's going to the fundraiser's pocket rather than to the eagle. Halavai, I don't want to ask questions, because halavai, I wish, it's not going to that avodah zarah. A Yid has deep down the wish to do a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, and is an incredible nation. Klal Yisrael are unbelievable. The amount of tzedakah they give is absolutely fantastic. I think I mentioned this before. During the Second World War, Westminster Abbey was destroyed in bombing. Westminster Abbey is the Via Voisa Tumma in England, right? It's the, you know, it's where all the princes and princesses get married. It's the Via Voisa Tumma in England. And it was bombed. It suffered very, very bad damage in the bombing. And they made a campaign to rebuild the ceiling. And you have to remember then, England had a British Empire. It wasn't just England, it was an empire. They had India, they had Burma, they had Rhodesia, they had... It was an empire, huge amounts of land.
Israel
as well, yeah? They had a huge amount of land. And they made the British Empire set out to raise money for it. And the Queen herself was a patron. And they could not raise enough money to fix the roof. Okay? A few years later in England, they made a campaign to raise money for Israel bombs. Israel bombs. And they made many, many times more money from the few Jews who were sitting there by that table, secular Jews, than Westminster Abbey made from the entire British Empire. That is the koyach of a Yid. He wants to sign a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it's hard. So you do the Vayikhu. How do you do the Vayikhu? How do you get it out of your pocket? You understand it's all from Rabbeinu Shlalom. It's all from him anyway. In fact, it's going to make your business better if you give tzedakah. It's going to salt your money. And that, Be'ez Hashem, will not allow a person to have excuses. He won't run away in the middle of a fundraising campaign. His eyes won't cloud over when you're asking for money. He won't try and get all active and make phone calls. He'll actually write the check. Because ultimately, this is our destiny. We are a Klal Yisrael who wants to do a Ratzon Hashem. And this is how we survived many, many thousands of years of Golus. By sticking together, by helping each other. And strengthening the causes of that we so proudly stand behind. Chazak, chazak, v'nischazek.